Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Can we reveal to the audience that Matt and I are going to be watching Moses in very...
Watching him? I asked you guys to film him all day.
Yeah, we're going to watch him through a lens.
Every time I hear that gosh darn introduction music, I want to dance. I want to get sweaty. I want to go to a club and look at a stranger as we walk to the bathroom and think, ooh, that could be hot. And then, of course, never talk to them because why would you? Ugh, you guys, welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and I am so excited for this week's episode. It is with Esther Steinberg, who is not only an incredible stand-up comedian, an incredible mom, she's also one of my closest friends of many, many years. We met on the first day of college and have really remained inseparable ever since. We have done a lot of projects together. I'm talking a sketch comedy through esoteric comedy. We toured our one-woman show around the country right before the pandemic. We have a short film coming out next month, and Esther Steinberg has her own podcast called Stand Up Mom, where she interviews other stand-up comedians who are moms. It is so fresh and hilarious and real, so you definitely want to listen to that podcast. She also has her own hour-long comedy special that just premiered. It's called Esther Steinberg Burning Bush. And if that title doesn't get you into it, I don't know what will. You can watch it on Apple TV, Amazon, YouTube, wherever you get your specials. Also, her album of Burning Bush is available on iTunes and Spotify, YouTube Music, Amazon, all of that. So it'll definitely be in the show notes for this. You gotta watch it, rent it, own it, whatever you do. It's so good. She filmed it at the Pasadena Rose Bowl in California like a month after she gave birth to her son. So, of course, we talk about it a bit in the episode, but I highly recommend you watch it. It is such a good comedy special. As always, if you enjoy this podcast, make sure you subscribe and give us a 5-star review. And I cannot wait for you to hear my chat with my dear old friend.
I have two things to say to you. One, congratulations on finally having a podcast. Finally. You're a gift to the internet, and I'm really not sure that they deserve you, but here we are. So congratulations, and it's been a long, long time coming.
Well, my favorite thing is coming, and I just really decided to build up the anticipation. Honestly, though, I'm so happy, A, I have a podcast, but B, that I get to like glean inspiration from you, Esther Steinberg Garden Swords, because your podcast, Stand Up Mom, if anyone here does not listen to it, it's so good. She interviews stand-up comedians that are moms, that are...
This brings me to number two really quickly. Number two.
Please.
I'm sorry that I am not gay. Like, I honestly am sorry, which now we can lead into what my podcast is about, which is, to be honest, like, I believe like a breeder, like go on and make fun.
I mean, okay, I'm going to go in on people that are heterosexual. No, I actually think like I only have people on this podcast that are either a part of the LGBTQ community or that are beloved by the LGBTQ community. And you, Esther, have hordes of gay men that I find that are truly in your base. And also, you're just like, you are such a true ally to me, my family. And I just it would be one thing if I was like, yeah, my Republican neighbor wants to be on the podcast. But that is not what you are.
Well, I am sorry that I'm not gay. I'm sorry that I was born, unfortunately, attracted to men, gay men. But still, I mean, what does that make me?
It makes you.
If you're only attracted to gay men, you're I'm a gay man trapped inside of a straight woman's body, which works out.
Yeah, maybe that's why we're
married to a bear.
Do you know what? I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, including you or your husband, but Noah Garden Swartz, your husband is gorgeous. And
really?
Yeah.
I feel like I stare at him so much that I'm like, I've lost count.
Well, of course. I think that's a normal, I think that you've lost count of all of the things that make him a stun. I mean, I think that's real.
I just, like, don't see him as a person. He's just like,
well, because you see him like cleaning up your child's diarrhea. You see him like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's very relatable. But like, that's the thing also, like, Matt is so effing gorgeous. But like, sometimes I have to be like, oh my God, wait.
He's not just a piece of furniture. He's like, oh, that thing attached to the couch.
I mean, truly attached to the couch. What else are we doing? when we are out of this pandemic moment, I'm going to be like, I'm so sorry. Where am I going to get my 22 hours a day on the couch? Like, I feel like there's not enough time to fit it all in, which is like, oh no, I am not gonna be able to see anyone. What about my time on the couch? I'm
Well, luckily you've created an entire empire in the works that has to do with sitting in front of your green screen or whatever. You should get another couch.
I find that I'm most at home in front of my green screen.
That's so relatable. I actually don't care about the green screen. I am very most at home in front of my circle light.
as she pans to light, pan to light, pan to circle. You know what? Like when you do like, when you
no,
do like,
you stop it. No, you stop. Sorry.
She's now conversing with the ring light. You know, like when you do like an icebreaker in any sort of group event, it's like, where do you most feel at home? I think from now I'm going to say in front of my green screen.
Are you going to singles events?
No, but there's always here.
No, I think you're doing too much on the internet, and therefore I think the limit for me is being on Clubhouse.
Oh my God, Esther, I have not been able to have an easy foray into Clubhouse. Matt actually is super into Clubhouse, and he uses it in ways that feels actually like, because he uses it for his work. He'll go into like seminars to hear about the social media marketing that he does. But for me, it's just like, I'm an actor and I'm sad.
I mean, I've learned a lot about myself, and I learned that I don't like to listen. I could be on Instagram all day. But like 3 minutes on Clubhouse and I'm like, I have a migraine. And these are like tech losers telling me how to live my life and like preaching. It's so uncomfortable.
Well, here's the question though. Cause when like, even when podcasts came out, when Twitter came out, I was like, well, you have 4 characters to say, like, it's not going to last. And of course now Twitter is huge and podcasts are huge.
No, but Twitter's on its way out the door.
Oh, interesting. But Twitter's done.
It's all been trolled out. Go on.
Well, it is many trolls in a dark place, but do you think Clubhouse, like, I want to have it on a recording right now. Is Clubhouse going to be just like a 2020, 2021 thing? Or do you think it's going to grow to be a monster social media platform that everyone will have at one point?
I think that it'll take a very small little corner of social media for people who are genuinely wanting to be almost like in Zoom workshops without the headache of inviting people to a Zoom workshop or a Zoom seminar. So it'll take like, I feel like it's an alternative to a seminar or a keynote speaker. So right now, like people do love being a part of like a TEDx talk or a, you know, they get together and they do these. God, I don't know anything about the real world.
Who does? But also, speaking of not the real world, someone I talked to who's an actor said they had an audition for something on Clubhouse. It was like, it was an open call where they sat with all these people auditioned in front of everyone, just audio. And I don't know if that's going to
stop. Whatever. I can't. When I'm on it and I've done a couple, like I hosted a group of like Moms After Dark and I was like, this is not doing it for me.
Yeah, I don't know if moms are choosing to be on Clubhouse. I mean, that's a genuine question.
Moms, back to my podcast. Moms should listen to my podcast because those are the gems.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I think it's such a brilliant podcast, is because it has it's not only specific, but also so universal. There are so many moms in the world and parents that can glean like not only humor, but also taking stigma away from things that people don't talk about. I mean, I'm not just saying this because you are one of my best friends in the world, but like so many people come talk to me about your podcast, about like listening to episodes with either their favorite comedians or people that just became moms
there's a lot of people that are thinking. I think that when I was thinking about it and when I was pregnant, before I could tell anyone, because there's a period of time where everyone's like, don't talk to anyone. You really need, I don't know why the fuck they do. Don't tell anyone, because that's exactly when you need your friends to be like there for you. And certainly if you lose a child, God forbid that happens, it happens quite often. Don't you want your supportive friends to be there to
absolutely.
Like hold your hair?
I think that there's so many stigmas around it that I'm hoping are going away. And I do think it's like, it's the more you talk about it, the more it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is all universal. And also like whose rules were that you can't talk about it? Like who decided that?
Right now? Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm so beyond that. I'm like, there's a lot of people who want to do things and it's totally up to them. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what you do. If you can manage to keep a kid alive, then you're winning.
Oh,
period. That's my new opinion on motherhood. I'm like, oh, you fed them and they were alive. Like the amount of work that just goes into bare minimum keeping a kid alive. I'm just like, holy crap. You're incredible. You kept a kid alive.
I have such a newfound respect for moms who are either new moms or are pregnant or are any new parents out there, because watching you when you were pregnant and we were going around the country performing our show and you were like 12 months pregnant running around on stage, my sister-in-law Becca has our nephew Henry, who is a magical being, and now Max was born a few months ago. He is incredible, and the fact
he looks just like you.
I mean, it is. I mean, he's just like, it's so incredible. My sister-in-law Megan is also pregnant, and just seeing all these women who are having to. It's to your point of like, if the baby is alive, like that is amazing. It's unimaginable. The hot take is the baby's live, you're A+ parent. It's just like what people's bodies go through who are pregnant, what new parents go through when the baby is up every 4 seconds, what to even just like the emotional journey of having your body change and then having to not have any sleep and then have, especially in a pandemic too, if like you don't have the support around you.
I have so much
respect for everyone right now and anyone who's ever been a new parent, because I look forward to the day that we'll have children, and I can't wait for that. But also I know I'm going to be a fucking wreck. I mean,
wait,
it's like,
now let's start talking shit about how our mothers ruined our life. Like what I love about motherhood is that it's beautiful. It's amazing. Anyways, my mom ruined my life, and here's how.
Oh, my mom was being so annoying the other day.
Yeah. Just shift energy into like my fucking mom. You don't even know the kind of questions she's been asking me. It's like, bitch, back off, bitch. Boundaries, bitch.
I talked to my mom the other literally 2 days ago. She could not get off my ass. I was like, mom, stop fucking calling me. But parents are just, I have to say, the journey of becoming a mother. Yeah, it's
amazing. The sacrifice. If they're alive, they're amazing. My cunty mother.
You would not believe the things she sent me the other day.
Ugh. Talk about a menopausal nightmare. that bitch is dried up.
I mean, listen, I do sometimes think about how my parents had 4 children. 2 of them were twins, and they were like, but also let's talk about, so you and Noah have given birth to this beautiful baby boy that I am lucky enough to call my best friend, and Matt and I are going to be able to.
Your uncle?
He's our nephew. Can we reveal to the audience that Matt and I are going to be watching Moses in very.
Watching him? I asked you guys to film him all day.
Yeah, we're going to watch him through a lens.
I cannot wait to see the kind of content you guys come up with.
Yeah, we're going
to
watch him.
Okay, first of all, diaper changes, you want to get it from a really good angle.
Can I just say, like, when we watched Moses on your birthday, and we should have filmed us trying to put a diaper on him, because I think we ended up doing an okay job, but shit's not easy.
Well, I someone witnessed me do it who has had 2 kids, my sister-in-law's
husband's my brother-in-law. We're hanging out. He has these two kids that are like 7 and 9. And I'm like, one second, let me change my son's diaper. And they saw me wrestling this alligator. There was like poop coming out of his butt, like a hockey puck, like shaped to his butthole. It was disgusting. Then he wanted to flip. He wanted to kick his legs. He wanted to pull off his own diaper. He wanted to touch his penis. It was absolute chaos. And afterwards I was like, diaper changes, they're difficult, right? Remember to give it. He was like, that wasn't a diaper change. And I was like, what? He goes, you were wrestling an alligator. And I was like, okay, I have an alligator son. I feel like he is a UFC fighter, and that's what diaper changes are for me personally.
He's trying to do a full body slam as you're just trying to take.
I have to body slam my 10-month-old.
You need to get shackles down while you change his little diaper.
I really would love to do that, but he would like figure out how to get out of his shackles, and I'd be like, "Fuck, he got out of his shackles again." Noah, can you help me?
Can you get the new shackles?
The shackles came out.
He busted the shackles out of the wall.
Well, go on Amazon and order some new shackles. I know. We're trying to break him of the shackles right now. We're only doing it at night. We're only doing shackles on Tuesday, but
do you know how many shackles we've gone through?
No, you need the natural ones. It's like an organic. They do like Burt's Bees shackles. You've got to try it.
Yeah, do Amazon shackles will rust.
That is such a fucking parrot dumb thing. I want to clear the air.
Okay.
About the mushroom trip. Because
wait, I did not. My microphone.
For the first time. I heard the story about the mushroom trip.
Can I tell? Can I tell the audience? The audience.
They know because they've already listened to the Kat Cohen.
I just want to make
the Kat Cohen episode. Then of course you're going to listen to the Esther Steinberg episode.
That's what I want to make sure that if you've not listened to the Kat Cohen episode, you must.
This is
must
in
see
response.
TV. But this is a story that I did tell about a mushroom trip that Esther and I went on, and I did throw a little shade. Now Esther.
No, that's fine. I owe you a huge apology. There is something I wanted to say. The time of the mushroom was me being incredibly poor. Like, you weren't even describing. First of all, you guys were like chit-chatting about the Hamptons. And I was like, okay. And then you went to like Joshua Tree. I feel like at the time of the story of the mushrooms, I was so poor.
We both
I had
were
like nickels to my name. And we were shacking up together in a studio apartment in like the rapiest part of LA.
To give you the illustration, everyone, like we truly had such little funds that we spent a few months in LA together in a studio apartment is like
we
generous.
Ate cans of tuna.
Cans of tuna from Trader Joe's. We lived in a place that there was no parking because there was obviously
it was
no
equivalent
parking spot.
To a motel. It was like the shadiest thing ever, but the guy who rented it to us, his ad on Craigslist was like, I want to rent my stuff out to hopefully an artist, but someone who's not homophobic, not transphobic, someone who's open-minded. And I just loved it. And I was like, I like this. I think that it was $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Which is dirt cheap.
Especially when you're between two people. And also we like, there was only a bed and then the bathroom and that, you know, tiny kitchen. And so I was weird. I'm weird about sleep. I just have a thing about sleep. It's not
you're
about
Esther.
So I ended up getting an air mattress. And for the majority of the time I slept in this twin size air mattress. But then I don't know if you remember like the last month we were there, I was like, fuck this fucking air mattress. And then we ended up sleeping in the bed together and it was like totally great.
That's the background of how poor we were. But the reason we were in that place doing that thing and pinching pennies was because we were creating a short film, which you did mention. So we ended up getting funds like for the short film and we raised money and all that. Mm-hmm. That's not so basically all of our money that we were getting or raising was everything was going towards a short film, blah, 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 short film. In a perfect world, I think I get these like chocolate mushrooms. We take a little bit of this chocolate mushroom, we go into our gorgeous hotel room at the Ace Hotel. We have separate rooms. We change into our bathing suits, hang out, do mushrooms, look at Joshua Tree, go to an Airbnb, go hot tubbing, like live it up. That did not happen. I think I got ahead of myself wanting to do mushrooms in Joshua Tree as a poor person. So if you're a poor person, you drive to Joshua Tree, you do mushrooms and you drive back, which sounded like the only way that we are going to be able to like have a mushroom trip. So like now that I look back, I'm like, that was so irresponsible. That was so stupid. That's so cheap. Maybe there was a way for me to like gather $200 and get a hotel room or not go at all. And that would be like my advice. But I think I was just so poor and yet wanted to be so fabulous.
And I completely, so that's the truth. I completely stand behind that statement. And I, partly for the story's sake, really read you to filth on that. But like, it really was a story.
I sounded like a psycho who was like, let's stay out till 9 p.m. in a desert. And like, I got sick, you got sick. Like, I really did feel horrible about it, especially since we were supposed to film. But like, overall, I had a great time because whatever, I try not to think about like the aftermath of like you getting violently ill and getting like pneumonia for a week.
And I still can't explain why we got so sick. I don't really know what the part of the mushroom trip did that. But I think it's all a part of a very epic story and just a part of our history that I think we can probably, you know, write into our future TV show. And I think
But then I tried to redeem myself doing mushrooms. I brought like gorgeous mushrooms to your bachelor party. And then I asked every single person if they wanted to do mushrooms, and every single person was like, absolutely not.
Because they had just heard the story, how I got sick for 8 days. I think, honestly, I will.
And then I had the mushrooms and had the most gorgeous trip all alone.
Well, can we set the stage for how that was? It was such a brilliant moment for Esther Steinberg because it was a month before. It was 2 weeks after Esther got married in Denver, Colorado. It was a month before I got married. And
it was like 3 days before I went to Italy for my wedding. Honeymoon.
So talk about money. My parents' friends had this house in Quag in New York, and we went there for a few days for my 30th birthday slash like we'll call it a bachelor party before.
You don't have to say Quag, you can say the Hamptons and I won't correct you.
I still don't understand what part of the Hamptons that's in. Is it
East Hampton?
So we were in East Hampton, and so it was just like, you know, smoking weed, cooking, being by the pool. It was like truly magical. And Esther just come from her wedding, and so you did offer mushrooms, and I decided, I was just like, you know what, just because I don't want to take any risk of what it would do to me, I said no thank you. But then Esther ends up having an amazing, like, I just remember where I'm watching you sit by the pool and literally you're just like looking at the sun and so serene. And I remember being like, this must feel amazing for her. And it did. But can you tell everyone what ended up also happening during this trip? Like, what was happening for you?
Oh, I totally had a vision that I was going to like have a baby boy. And then I found out I was pregnant, but I had spotting. So I was like bleeding a little bit and I was like, okay, I got my period. So I called Noah and I was like, I got my period. And then I was like waiting for the Old Faithful like gush of blood, which comes after, like, first I'll be like, oh, I'm on my period, and then 5 seconds later, like, the whole bed is stained with blood. It looks like people died and all my underwear is ruined and of the buckets of blood that I'm bringing to the bathroom via a diva cup, my period. And then the buckets did not arrive. And so I called him and I'm like, I don't know if this is a period. And he's like, but you're bleeding. It's like, never mind. Just whatever. It's not it. And then I Googled it and it's like a little bit of blood means that the sperm implanted into the egg. And then it's like, whoa, I'm pregnant.
And so then you go to Italy on your honeymoon, you find out you're newly pregnant. And then
back was hurting and my mom was like, how's everything? And I was like, fine. There's so many stairs and the luggage. Like, my back is killing me. She goes, are you pregnant? And it's so early on in the pregnancy that I don't want to like lie or jinx or like, there's so much annoying superstition around being pregnant that I was like, I couldn't lie. So I was like, yeah, I am.
So when you told her on the phone when you were in Italy?
Thank you for letting me reveal to you that I'm pregnant by you being like, are you pregnant?
I didn't know that's how it happened. So it was while
you were in Italy. She also outed my sister. She was going through like papers that were like printed out somehow. I don't know why. It was like probably like 2013 or 2014 or something like that. She's like digging through my sister's stuff and saw like girl looking for girl. And my mom was like, what? Are you lesbian? And then my sister was like, why did you go through my shit? I hate you.
I mean, look, if there's one thing I know is that...
No, we support. We love that you're lesbian. And then they go to synagogue and they're like, do you have any lesbians?
Oh, that's a thing that's what's so magical about your parents, I find, is like that they, like Esther's mom saw our one woman show we put up at the Duplex in New York City. She sat in the front row, and as we're like shitting on our moms on this show, your mom was like laughing and clapping her ass off. And I was like, that takes a good mom. That takes a good mom to really, and like, let it be known that we traveled that show to Denver, to LA, to St. Louis. And when we did the show in St. Louis, it was my mom and her 50 of her closest friends. And I was just on stage. Like,
they're all listening to this podcast.
All listening. It's like so many jokes making fun of like our quintessential Jewish moms that we have. And I had to give my mom so many disclaimers and be like, listen, like these are jokes. And she, to my mom's credit, did amazing. I think her friends did as well, but
everyone was just so excited to be in the like VIP room afterwards. Like the JCC set up this like VIP meet and greet, which costs like $1 million for a sponsored people. And like, they just saw it as like another opportunity to be like, oh, you're also VIP. Oh yeah. We're going to the meet and greet. Like it was to them, like they were at a Justin Bieber concert and like, it was important to like rub shoulders with the celeb,
but instead of Justin Bieber
and pregnant me,
yeah, exactly, it was me
and your brother had his moment.
That's true. And my brother got engaged that night. It was like, it was a crazy time to be alive in St. Louis, Missouri. These two strangers from New York come doing a gay ass show on this stage,
your mom's friends pretending it was funny.
No, not at all. I mean, honestly though, that the show is a love letter to our moms. And again, I did, I'm watching us like honor moms in the first 5 minutes and then just shit on our moms.
But it got better. I would say that the two-person, one-woman show, which by the way, my nephew was like, Esther, you're a performer. I'm like, yeah. He was like, I didn't know you sang. And I'm like, oh, well, no, I'm a terrible singer, but I mean, I do comedy and stuff. And he was like, what was the most fun show you've ever done? And I said, it was EAEOWS. And he's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, amateur. So, Eric and Esther's one woman show. He was like, what's that? And I was like, me and my best friend, Eric, pretended to be booked on the same night at the same time. And we like fought with each other over the stage time. And he was like, oh, that's funny. And I was like, it's so good.
It is so good. And it's also very full circle thinking about how that show came about, because we were literally in Joshua Tree filming the short film.
At the like poorest, lowest point of our lives.
Yeah. And we were
not
joking.
The lowest point. I would say like creatively in a phenomenal space, but financially in like a shipwreck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like a time when we knew.
And then my uncle died and he like gave us money to do the short film. So it was like there was so much craziness. And like in the last email he sent me, he was like, I wanted you to do something other than stand up. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, literally he gave us money for this movie and died days later. And it was like, it all felt very universal. And also,
I was so afraid to ask him.
Well, and Ziv is like such an angel, because what's really like a little tease to the audience is that that short film was filmed a bit ago, it's officially going to be
timeless.
It's timeless, and it's going to be premiering on a streaming platform actually in May. So look out for that. I think it's a very great movie.
No, I thought it was really well done, and I felt like we were both very thin, like starving, like really, really, really hungry.
Because we were eating seaweed salad every day.
Exactly. And, so we were pregnant during the show, and I felt like the show, the Eric and Esther's one woman show, shifted.
Yeah, that's true. And also the show really, like, we changed the show, because the show was like before we got married, then the show was after we got married, then the show was after you got pregnant. And so we added
and some now
show.
We need another one after I have a baby.
Yeah. And
adding on to it until we're in our 70s. Which brings us to why we're really here, is for me to promote my special. Check it out on Amazon and Apple TV. I worked my clit off for it. I have worked so goddamn hard. This clit is sandpapered off.
I will happily click the explicit content button for this episode, because we're talking about Esther's.
My friend Nicole Amy has a joke that she's like, took her Hitachi wand and masturbated on her clit so much that it's just sandpapered off and it looks like a Barbie. And I was like, just I relate to
a
that.
A smooth front. I mean, for it, I truly wasn't all watching you work on this special, like as you were. First of all, let's let it be known that this special was supposed to be filmed like in April of last year. And then the pandemic came and it was like, we don't know if you're ever even going to be able to do this again. Like it was such a big deal.
I want people to know the pandemic really, it really hit me like really hard. Like for some people, it was hard. But like for me, like my special got pushed. Oh yeah, I had a baby, but like the push was my sketch. They had to push it. We pushed.
Oh, you pushed the baby, right? No, my special, my hour comedy special.
We had to induce it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
special in July.
So can you talk about like that? What was the journey of like you had this special you're supposed to do in April, and then of course pandemic comes, they cancel it. When did you find out that they were going to be rescheduling it, and what you had to do to get ready for it?
Oh my yo. It worked out nicely because I was so fucking stressed out about being pregnant and being in a global pandemic that I was like, oh yeah. And then I have my special. I was like overwhelmed, but I think that one of my strengths not to be on here with confidence, cause I apologize for that. But like one of the things I like about myself, maybe some people don't, I don't know, is that I do handle stress pretty well. I don't know why I or how, but when things are super stressful, I take a moment to be stressed out. And then I also take a moment to be like, whatever, I'm not dying. That was Courtney. People are dying, Kim.
People are dying, Kim. I do think that one of your amazing strengths and why we've worked so well together over these past 30 years is that you are able to like be nothing but present. You're just like, okay, we can be very stressed, but this is the job and I'm going to make it funny.
We might not have food on the table, but honey, we've got a script to write.
And a mushroom to eat.
You have to have a vision and be a little bit of delusion to be like so poor, living in a hole in the wall, like actual meth house, like really gross conditions, and being like, we are going to execute a short film. We are going to also write a 2-person, 1-woman show, which will then be at festivals. And like, what kind of delusional idiots do you have to be to like believe in yourself?
You even need to have be delusional to say, I'm going to have something called That's a Gay Ass Podcast and a single person will listen to it. But as long as you...
I told my mom the name of your podcast and she like cackled and was like, that's good. I'm like, you laughed a little too hard. That actually laughing? Felt rude. I'm going to say it. That was rude.
There's a
I was
fine like,
yeah,
line.
Eric's podcast. She goes, oh, he has a podcast? I was like, yeah. She goes, what is it? Like, what kind of, I was like, gay ass podcast. Like, to me, it's like, yeah, it's Wall Street Journal, gay ass podcast. She's like, that's funny.
I mean, I know her heart's in the right place. But that's,
but she's always like, when your partner's with so-and-so, I didn't think they were funny, SD, but your partner's with Eric, he's so funny. She's your biggest fan. And she thinks that like, she tells me how to do my job. She thinks she's Kris Jenner. She thinks she's my manager. And I have to be like, I do also have a manager at Brillstein, but like, okay, be my manager. But Bernie Brillstein is my manager. So
that's like sometimes the dream. I growing up wanted my parents to be stage parents, which of course I'm happy they're not now. But when Spring Awakening was doing open calls in Chicago, I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be on Broadway. I'm 15. I have no talent, but I know this is going to happen for me. And my parents were like, Eric, you can't go to Chicago to audition because you'll have to drop out of school to be on Broadway. I was like, are you kidding me? Like Broadway's the goal. And I was so pissed they weren't going to let me leave my sophomore year of high school to audition for the Broadway production of Spring Awakening. Of course, like I would not have booked it because I again was
but if
not,
you did
you know what if I mean oh I don't want to throw too much shade but like a lot of the cast from Spring Awakening and the replacement cast have not done as well as you would hope. That being said, if I had John Gallagher's career, of course, Lea Michele, I don't want that career no matter how successful she became.
What about the guy that spits,
Jonathan Groff? I absolutely, not only do I want his career, I would like to be in
spat
around
on.
Oh my god, he is a dream.
I mean, Hamilton, me and Noah were like, didn't know what was happening. We started watching Hamilton and there was just like slobber coming out and I was like, ew. And then I was like, wait. And then I was like, yeah. And then I was like, ew. And then I was like, really? And then I was like, ew. And then I was like, okay.
You're doing, it's the kombucha girl meme that's like, ew.
Well,
I mean, that, I think the front row of that entire audience, I think they, the entire show is having that, like, no.
Well.
No.
Well.
as they're being drenched with Jonathan Groff saliva.
Do you have to be to create like a Shamu splash zone in a Broadway performance?
Did you hear, I don't want to say this, like this is too maybe controversial, but did you hear Lin-Manuel Miranda is about to have a downfall?
Finally. I'm sorry. I love Moana, but I think that Lin is one of the most incredible writers that has ever existed and one of the worst singers. And I can say that as a terrible singer. Because I was sitting in my studio and writing all the rap songs that got on Hamilton. And I think also it's kind of weird that he's like, kind of like, I don't know, with his ponytail and his face and his singing. And then he's like, all the girls want to fuck him and he's a star.
Well, there was a narrative before Hamilton came out that was like, you know, we didn't even know that Lin-Manuel Miranda was even going to be considered for the role. But then all of a sudden, it's like, sweetie, you know, he spent all the crazy hours creating that show thinking that he was going to play Hamilton. I don't believe for a second that they're like, yeah, we auditioned 500 actors and then miraculously the writer got it. It's like, I wonder what were the powers.
He does teach you one lesson.
Which is?
You gotta write yourself in.
You gotta write yourself in.
Listen, sweetie, no one's gonna hand you anything. You gotta write yourself in.
There are no unless handouts can, in this industry.
Unless you can spit across the room. You gotta write yourself in.
I guess that's the ticket. I need to take some pills to get more saliva so I can drench the front row.
Pills? Just think about a lemon coming in. All over your mouth. I didn't try to like a lemon squirting. I'm not trying to get sexual. Like if you could fit a lemon in your ass. Doesn't like if you think of sour heads, warheads, you remember those?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm not a sour girl. I'm more of like that experience of
sweet.
Like,
we all know you like chocolate, you like sweets, you like cake, you like cookies, you like brownies.
Ice cream. You
married the Martha Stewart of your husband is like on the verge of being the next Martha Stewart.
He really could be. I mean, he's like,
who he is to me.
He's such a good cook. He has amazing taste with design. Like, yeah. And the thing is,
he bakes.
I think he takes for granted sometimes how good his taste is because I'm like, wait, do you like this or like this? He's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I'm not kidding you. I'm asking, which do you like? He's like, yeah, that's disgusting. I was like, well, I don't have taste. Okay. I don't think I have taste.
What you have is a husband with taste. So you have taste.
Yeah, fine.
He sleeps next to you. What's the point of being a funny Jewish comedian if you can't marry Martha Stewart?
That's true. That is true. And I, you know what? I our kids will be appropriately neurotic and also be able to pick out a gorgeous St. James shirt.
I mean, your kids are going to be so boring. They're going to be like, I'm just joking. You're like, I feel like they'll just be like wholesome, sweet, all five of them. And they'll like live on a farm that's like very restored, restoration, hard. I don't know, whatever is cool.
It'll be gorgeously designed. Although I don't like, we will not be having five kids.
I went with him. I asked Matt what I should do for the cover of my special. And I actually went with whatever he said.
Oh, good. I mean, it's a great cover.
And ignored what you said.
I mean, that's
you're
the
like,
way.
I like the blue. And I'm like, what about you, Matt? Like, what do both of you think of this, Matt?
What do you both think
Matt,
of this,
Matt? What do you guys both think of my special? Like, do you think it should be blue or red, Matt?
What do you both think, Matt? And I'm like being the most vocal. I'm giving a 10 act play, a monologue about the blue. And then Matt says, I like red. And then of course I look at the, the Deadline article and it's the red one. I'm like, so she took his advice. But that, I mean, that this special is Burning Bush. It is so, I'm privileged to see the incarnations of it that got to the actual recorded version of it. And I just, I think beyond the circumstances of A, pandemic, B, having a baby, C, flying to LA mere seconds after giving birth, even that aside, it's just a fucking good special because it, again, does the things that you do so well. It's like it takes the stigma away. It talks about things in a fresh way. It's also fucking cars honking and beeping and shot in such a way that shows you the magnitude of the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. It's like, it's a time capsule of the moment. It is smart comedy. It is fresh.
Does it make you want to see Magic Mike?
Of course. I mean, what doesn't?
Because I talk about my nude photo shoot and I also talk about Magic Mike. And I talk about my wedding and I talk about my pregnancy and I talk about my flight to LA. I've had an interview with someone and they were like, so the nude photo. And I'm like, is that your takeaway?
Well, it's not an uninteresting story.
Oh, it's funny because you're like a slutty comedian. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, they were like interviewing me about it and kind of used the word slutty. And I was like, no to that word.
That makes me a little riled up because that
no is to not that a, word. No to that word.
No to that word. Because also, A, no to that word. B, no to that word for you. And C, no to that fucking word. It's like, who? No, no. One is slutty.
It no. Is... I was like, first of all, let's say we were, for let's say 10 years ago, and like all of a sudden it was okay for you to call me a slut. I'm allowed to call myself a slut, but you're not allowed. And I know
there's one person
when
who
straight
could...
guys, meanwhile, like he was actually like for sure was trying to be nice, like trying to be, yeah, trying to just say like, you were pregnant, you were doing this, but like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like slutty Tampa. And I just like, didn't call him out. Cause I was like,
it's hard. It's hard.
I'm not here. I just like, can't waste my time being like, sir, please don't call me a slut. It also took me like a couple hours to digest that he like tossed that word around. And I was like, no, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm just thinking like, okay, I have posted thirst traps in my past and I'm proud of it. Okay, fine. Like there's a picture.
You're only going to be 29 once.
Truly. Now that I'm 31, my tits are on the floor. But like... But like if someone were to say, Eric, you posted those slutty pics, I'd be like, A of all, no to that word.
Like slutty pics, you're like, that's an adjective describing photos, which is even better than an adjective describing you.
Right. And also it's like it's only slutty if you think it's slutty. If I think it's slutty, I can say I'm slutty, but it's not. And also who's it's not for you to decide that. I
can
post my
don't slut shame me.
I can post my left ball on a platform that allows that. And it's
people
not
don't
slutty.
Know how to take a funny woman who's talking about her vagina, who's talking about doing a nude photo shoot. He even admitted like confusion. He was just like, what's the difference between like objectification of women and you doing a nude photo shoot and why that's empowering? And I was like, oh my God, welcome to women's studies. Please take a seat, turn a chapter, fucking read a book. The worst is like, and I explained it very briefly and was just like, when you're taking ownership of yourself and your sexuality and you want to celebrate your body, you can take pictures, you can empower yourselves. I had a female photographer and a female this, female this.
Well, can you also let the audience know what this actual photo.
I took nude pics for Penthouse that were like tasteful nudes. If you believe in taste, what did Matt say?
We love, I mean, they are so, so fucking good. And honestly, like I would never even begin to ascribe slutty to it. Cause they're just like so hot. They are so beautiful. They are so confident. They're clearly shot from your friend, Lindsay, who did such an incredible.
Lindsay Burns, who's like my best friend who does photos for everyone. She's so artsy and creative, so queer, so cool, so badass.
Yes.
She's a bad, 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 bad bitch.
And she it was comes like, through in her photography because these pictures are like, they are so, I mean, honestly.
You feel good because the last guy that like, that just doing an interview with a straight man being like, so wait, what? And I had to bring it back and be like, it was a celebration of the female form. I was I was asked to, I was also using it as a promotion for my album, but also it was something that I had always wanted to do, is like kind of something sexy. And even though I'm funny, I wanted to also be sexy. And
And you also, I think you were very confident in the things you wanted for the shoot. You were clear about the things you would do versus what you wouldn't do. And it translated to just like really great pictures that was, I think it expressed your energy in a really beautiful way.
Yeah.
And it's also hot as fuck.
It was my comfort zone to like my butt was showing, but like not my asshole, not my vagina, not my nipples. In my special, I say that I'm saving those for my kid. But like everything that I felt really comfortable showing, I showed. There was like a bit of a see-through nippy moment, but not like full. I think I would be really embarrassed to just be like full frontal nude. I think that would be really challenging for me, especially with my C-section scar.
I mean, but hey, honestly though, like never say never, because can
and
you
now
imagine?
I don't like my body as much. Like my belly is not going back to like rock hard abs. I have like a flabby belly. I have saggy fucking boobs, were like gigantic and now they're like empty bags. And I have like giant circles under my eyes that now I'm like piling like tart shape tape and powder. Like I'm going full Kylie with my powder, my pewda.
Pewda. But honestly though, it's like it's such a, I think, relatable thing that after a pregnancy, your body goes through so much. And it's like, I'm hoping that you gave yourself.
I brought up Mateo. I was like, people do nude stuff that are funny.
Absolutely. And
Mateo Lane's body is all over the internet and we're happy about it.
Look, if I look like a Mateo Lane, I would show my ass to whoever wanted to see it. But like, I'm hoping you giving yourself some grace and some like appreciation of what your body has done, because it is like, no matter what, it's gorgeous. You're gorgeous. But it's like,
there's someone on Reddit who's like, how can I get those photos? How do you get Esther Steinberg's nude photos? Who is she? And I'm like, I know I did it for Penthouse and I know all that. First of all, it's like very hard to find, but also I think I did it for like gay men and women. And like, it's like, if you're straight, like don't talk about like look, but don't touch, you know, it's kind of like being at a dance club. I'm like, I'm dancing with my friends.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Stare at me from across the room, but like, don't walk up to me and talk to me. Please don't talk to me about it. Enjoy it. Just don't talk about it unless you're gay.
100%.
Would you do anything nude sexual? You've done a lot of like, I'm just joking. This is like such an annoying question for you.
No, it's not. I don't think it's annoying. I think what happened during this past year is that when I was really unemployed and like down and out and just like, and really fucked, like financially, I was really stressed. And the only thing I could do to anchor myself down every day was work out. And working out is my least favorite thing to do. If I ever have a single thing on the calendar, then I'm not going to work out. It's like, oh, then I can't work out. It's like, yeah, but Eric, that's a 20-minute meeting. Yeah, but I can't work out now because I'm busy. But like, I didn't have anything to do. So I worked out 5 days a week and then got into better shape than I'd ever been in. And then to get like some sort of validation, I posted more thirst traps on the internet. And I actually like, I'm not ashamed of it. I think like I'm happy with what.
I love sexy photos.
I do too. And
my friend Lane is a bikini model. Her pictures are risque. She's the classiest bitch I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to even
There's a way to go about it. I think that, and obviously Lane does in such a brilliant way. I think that I want to make sure if I do post a thirst trap, it's not coming out of like deep sadness of trying to get valid. I'm trying to learn where to get validation in my life in other ways while still being able to, if I want to post a thirst trap, enjoy that moment. Like I was talking a lot in therapy about where do I, you know, get my worth from? Is it from, you know, X, Y, and Z? Is it the amount of money I'm making
ticket
in the week?
Sales.
Is it ticket sales? Is it down? Like, what is it? But it's like when I was unemployed, really struggling, I was like, you know what? I actually did these dishes. I helped Matt with this thing. I boo, 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 boo around the house. I helped my friend with this. And I was starting to realize like I have value in ways that are not just based upon how much money I'm making, how successful I am as a creator or just as a person in general career wise. And so like that, I think trying to base what my worth is on, well, then if I do post a thirst trap, it's coming from a place of like, you know what? I'm either proud of this picture. I feel hot. I want to share this with the world and not from just like, I feel like a piece of shit. Please throw me a few likes for this. And I think that that distinction is actually like a helpful journey on the thirst trappery. Does that make sense?
Well, yes. I also love you so very much. And your husband loves you. And your circle of like supporters is in love with you. And your fans love you. And most of all, the universe loves you because you're a good person.
Oh my God.
And I'll say that because when we were in theater school, we met when we were 18, but I remember like you were a group leader, maybe for like group B at Atlantic, like, and you're always like wanting to include someone that other people were kind of like, oh, that person's kind of weird. Let's not talk to her. And you were like, no, I'm going to sit and I'm going to talk to her. And everyone's like, oh yeah, that guy's stuff was like bad. He's a bad actor. And you're like, no, we're going to include him at lunch. And you're always so inclusive and so sweet. And then you were voted to be like president of our whole like club. But like you really stand up for an underdog. Like you definitely treat people the way you want to be treated. You've put in so much work. You're so so insanely talented that if you were a stock, I would invest in you. Like it was fucking Tesla. You're the Elon Musk of gay comedy. It's really lucky that you haven't been like exploded into fame yet, because I think that you had like lessons to learn right before you become like the most famous person ever. And I think that you're learning those lessons.
Well, A of all, that was very amazing.
Before you become Jesse Tyler Ferguson meets Billy Eichner.
Oh, please, from your mouth to RuPaul's ears. I mean, thank you for saying those nice words. I have to say, like, it felt like the universe brought us together. And like I want to let you know, the first moment that I knew we were going to be lifelong friends and partners was when we went to probably day three of college, 2 days after we met each other.
And I told you my like sort of rape story.
What if that's what I was saying? You told me this really harrowing tale. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
What if you were like, you were such a slut? Remember in college, you were such a fucking slut. Day three, you were like blowing everyone.
And I remember thinking to myself, look at this fucking slut. No, that is not what I was thinking. Actually,
team leader out.
The what I'm thinking of is day three when we went to the dance party for new students, and Esther and I were dancing on the dance floor, and Esther did a move where she put herself like slapped down, went to the floor, and then put her head up and pretended like she was wiping liquid off of her mouth, and then wrung her hair out as if she was squeezing the cum out of her hair. And I swear to God, that was however many years ago, and I will never forget it. And I was like, this is my people.
She has cum on her lips. She wrings it out of her hair. She is not a slut.
Was not a slut, but you did a full cum pantomime, and I thought I was like, I knew exactly what you were doing.
A cum pantomime.
You know, she went to school in Italy for Commedia dell'arte, specifying in cum pantomime.
I'm doing mask work. It's called a pearl necklace.
It's called a facial.
So while we're on the topic of like love and relationships, random question. I've always wondered this. How did you meet Matt?
First of all, I want to apologize to everyone who has had to hear the story 10 times, but you're going to hear it for an 11th time. So we were at an audition. I'm kidding. I'm not going to say
What if the story kept changing? We were not online, because everyone wants to tell you that you met online. And like, excuse me, we met at an audition.
I change the story. I'm going to start changing the story every time I tell it, just because to keep it. So actually, he was working as a concierge at a hotel.
So we were
I'm in Abu Dhabi on business.
At Hamilton.
Literally, I'm visiting my best friend backstage at Hamilton. Matt's the stage manager.
You know the Mirage Hotel. Okay. Right there in the lobby, it's Jennifer Aniston and Matt Lummis. I'm like, who is that gorgeous blue-eyed dreamboat? I walk up to him.
He's Jennifer Aniston's manager.
He helped her get her fourth nose job. I mean, she looks stunning.
That's all Matthew Lummis. So the next thing I know,
how did you meet him?
We were actually, I was on a road trip to Arizona.
Wow, that sounds so believable. I have a question. What's more sad and desperate, online dating or an audition?
Both, bitch. Both. Well, listen, there's so many things to be grateful for with having each other, having your special, having our podcast.
Our baby.
Our baby, Moses. My future.
If something happens to me, you'll take good care of Moses.
Oh, are you kidding? He will have so much content. I mean, happiness.
I mean.
Content.
I'm always like so impressed with the work that you do and the quality in which you do it. And this podcast, you know, is so good and so delicious. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on That's a Gayest Podcast. I can I ask you one question before we say goodbye?
Please.
Why do you think gay men love you?
Well, I'm trying to embody this more and more. Like, I say what I want, and a lot of people will not like me because I kind of speak my mind, or I talk about my sexuality, or I go on stage, which is like, 50 years ago would be practically illegal to say the kinds of things that I do, because women aren't really given that. For some reason, gay men are like all about like a woman who, or anyone who's going to go against the grid because it's who they are authentically.
Yes. It's authentically embracing themselves and not worrying about the ramifications of what is allowed or not allowed. Because for so many years, queer people are told what is wrong about them and how they need to be. But then to see someone embracing what makes them different, or quote unquote weird, or quote unquote slutty, or whatever society
sexuality,
wants.
Sexuality, owning their sexuality.
Exactly. Owning it.
Just
and
as female sexuality has been repressed, suppressed, shamed. Mm-hmm. Like, they would just be like, you're a crazy bitch. Go to sleep. Make bait. Like, you know, it's got to be the highlighter. Will you tell me what you think it is?
I think it's just that. I think it's what we're saying is that you are so confident in your feelings and values. And sometimes those feelings are things that society would say, like, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. But you are so amazing at not only talking about it in an open and vulnerable way, you make other people feel able to share out in an open, vulnerable way because you have zero judgment. And so for me, for I think the queer community, it's like, this is a person that's not only open to people who are different, you embrace it, you celebrate it, and also you're really fucking gorgeous. You know, I think
I need a nose job, but other than that, thank you. I agree with everything you said, except for I need a nose job, and the gay community will support me in whatever tweaks I need to make.
We support you in any way, and truly I'm just grateful for you and grateful you came on this podcast.
I came all over the podcast.
Oh my God. Highbrow as ever. Thanks for listening, everyone, to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Make sure you follow Esther on social media. I'll link that in the description. Follow me at Eric Wills and follow our show Instagram. It's at Gay Ass Podcast. And you got to tell your friends about us. We have one of my most exciting guests thus far is going to be next week on the podcast. So you got to subscribe, and I'll make sure to post a little teaser on the Instagram soon. I love you all. I hope you're having a great week, and I will see you soon.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.